Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Well, here's a loaded question for you. If you knew that you were going to die today or tomorrow or this week sometime, could you honestly say that you lived your life to the fullest? What kind of regrets would you have? What kind of things would you wish that you would have engaged in? Well, my guest today is Robin Bertram, and she joins me to explain how loving deeply and living passionately can impact your legacy forever. And you know, it's really good to have these kinds of conversations because all too often it takes a crisis in our own lives for us to stop and start thinking deeply about where we're going in our life because we're drifters. We go places. We commit to things that God never asks us to. We lose our joy. We get weary. And we wonder, how did I get here? And that's why Scripture says it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party. I really believe the reason that's true is because at a house where there's a party, as fun as that is we throw caution to the wind. And it's not really a clear picture of life as we know it. But you know what? When you go to a house of mourning, things come into view, don't they? You remember who you care about. You remember what you care about. And it's just a wake-up call to make your life count. Well, my prayer for you today is that it won't take that for you and I to wake up, to take inventory, to say, what in my life has to go? Who do I need to engage with more? What loved ones am I not giving priority to? Is my life reflecting the fact that I love Jesus? I make time for him. I listen to him. I do what he asks me to do. This is an important show for us today, and we'll get to Robin's conversation here in just a moment. But also want you to know that our fall share has officially concluded, and we just want to thank you. I want to thank you with all my heart for the way that you turned out, the way that you showed up and said, I'm putting my money where my faith is. I want to be a part of the bigger story. I am praying with all my heart that God pours out his spirit on you in such a fresh new way that you start to notice a grace in your life, that you see his provision come at you from several different angles where you just know something's changed in my life, because that is what happens when we enter the kingdom economy. We seek first his kingdom. He adds things to our lives. He changes things in our lives. I pray you notice that in the most tangible ways. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Robin Bertram is an ordained minister, Christian speaker, and executive producer, and host of the nationally and internationally syndicated TV show Freedom Today. She's also vice president of media relations for Christian Women in Media, and we're blessed to have her with us today. Robin, welcome to the program.
Susie, thank you. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Well, congratulations on a brand new release.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a good day.
It is indeed. Well, Robin, we love to start all of our conversations every single day talking scripture, and you chose John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Talk about why you chose that passage.
Susie, many years ago when I was a young woman with babies, literally had babies, I had a son and a daughter, I went through a period of having severe panic attacks. So severe that if I would take an aspirin, in my mind I would think I was going to die. Or if I had to speak in a group, I just couldn't do it. The panic and the fear was all-consuming. And, Susie, one day I read this scripture, and I also read the scripture that talks about perfect love casts out fear. And when I connected the two in my mind, when I understood that Jesus came to set me free, that I was truly free indeed. And it was as simple as believing that perfect love casts out fear, because I came to the realization that fear was not a part of me. And that was a lie that I believed since I was a little child. I had a traumatic situation that took place as a little girl, and that trauma, in the midst of that trauma, fear entered me. It became part of who I was. And as a young woman, I had gone to my doctor. He wanted to put me on all this medication. I lasted about 3 days on the medication. I said no. I just picked up the Bible, and I held on to it, and I said, God, I know your answer is in this word. And it was like a light bulb came on when I read that scripture, perfect love casts out all fear. And knowing that the Son of God, he set me free. And it was almost instantaneously I was set free of panic.
Right.
And completely restored. Now, you know, it was several months after of delving into the scripture day after day after day, hours at a time. But when it clicked, and that fear was no longer my safe place.
How did you walk differently after that, Robin?
Well, you know, Susie, it was really tremendous, because before that, I remember when I was graduating from college, part of the graduation required a public speaking class. And I remember thinking, I will not graduate. There's no way I can get in front of a group of people and speak. And Susie, after this revelation, God moved me into ministry, and now I speak on platforms across the nation. I speak, I train, I teach. If I had been held in that bondage, as I was as a young woman, there was no way I could move out and do the things I'm doing now for God. I had a national television show. Tremendous things would have been prevented because of the fear that I carried in my own heart.
Well, let's jump ahead a little bit of this story, the part where you talk about in the book, when I think you were getting ready to take a trip to Italy and you had some alarming symptoms. Take us to that point of your story.
Okay, this was several years ago, Susie. I had been, we had a graduation party for my daughter. She had graduated from NC State in engineering, and my home was filled with out-of-town guests. And a couple of weeks prior, I had been volunteering to help a friend paint her bedroom. And so I had difficulty with my arm, but I thought that I had simply pulled a muscle. When my sister and my niece was here for the graduation, they said, you have got to get to the doctor. You have to be seen. And I'm thinking, my house is filled. We're leaving the next day for Italy. We were going to Tuscany for a family vacation with my children. And so it was all planned out. I went, after everyone left, I went to the walk-in clinic near my home. And I told the nurse my symptoms, and almost immediately she practically ran out of the room. A few minutes later, a doctor hurried in. He asked me a few questions, and he said, I am very sorry, Robin, but this is neurological. And I'm thinking, I am a healthy woman. I have never been sick. I don't know what you're even saying to me. And I told him I was going on vacation. He said, when you get back, you need to be seen immediately. He gave me four diagnoses, which three he took off the table. He left one dire diagnosis that had a two-year life expectancy, no treatment, no medication, and the readers have to read the book to know what that was.
And pause here, Robin, just because it feels a little bit like you skimmed over the symptoms. What were the symptoms that compelled you?
I want to get to that.
Okay, all right.
I will get to that, Susie. So he told me, he gave me one diagnosis, and he said, you need to be seen immediately. And the symptoms were, I would be 5 minutes from my home, Susie, and I could not figure out how to get home. I would be speaking on the platform in churches, and I could not figure out how to shift my notes. You know, I shift my notes from the right to the left, and I could not figure out how to shift my notes on stage when I was speaking. It was confusion. I could not remember what I was doing or where I was supposed to be or what I was doing. I had difficulty even making my bed. It felt like it was too much of a chore. I couldn't do it. I remember at Christmas time trying to shop for Christmas, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing and why I was doing it. And so, you know, I mean, I'm young, I'm healthy. I say young, I'm 50 plus, but that's as far as I'm going with age. But Susie, things were going on that I literally felt like I was dying. It was a dark, scary time. So I decided, I came home, I told my husband, we sat on the sofa. I felt like I was just in another world. I was like comatose, I couldn't even think. And my husband said, Robin, we're going to go ahead. We're going on vacation. We're not going to worry about this. When we get home, we'll get to the hospital. And so, I was upset with him for even making that decision. But afterwards, it was such a tremendous blessing. So we go to Tuscany, and during the day, we would tour all over Tuscany and Florence. But at night, when I came home, my knees would hit the floor, and I would cry out every single night to God. I could hardly sleep. I would cry and pray through the entire night. And so I came home. I couldn't get in to see a neurologist for 4 months. So I called Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, and without a doctor, without any referral at all, they said, come as soon as you can get here.
We're going to pause right here, Robin. We need to take a break. When we come back, I want to have you pick up that story where we left off. Talking to Robin Bertram, just released a book today titled No Regrets, How Loving Deeply, Living Passionately Can Impact Your Legacy Forever. We've got 3 copies. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie, that's S-U-S-I-E, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is With the Promise, talking to author speaker Robin Bertram. She just released a book today titled No Regrets, How Loving Deeply and Living Passionately Can Impact Your Legacy Forever. And before the break, Robin, you were telling the story of your family's about to go to Tuscany for just a much-needed vacation. You started to have some scary neurological symptoms. You thought it was just a pinch, something in your arm, making your arm heavy, not work so well. Went to the doctor, and he suggested you may have something that would really take your life within a couple of years. And somehow you're supposed to go on vacation and have a great time. I think it's still important that you went. I'm sure you made memories, but you said, you know, through the night, you'd cry out to God. And I have to tell you, I know that battle very, very well, of scary symptoms, of undiagnosed issues. And it's that, you know, the fear battle can just win the day at times. So you get home, and you can't get in with a neurologist for about 3-4 months. And so you call the Mayo Clinic, and you literally were invited to come, which that never happens either. So take the story from there and tell us what happened.
Sure, Susie. Well, I had decided in my heart, even before I would make the trip to Mayo, that I would go to the church, be anointed and prayed over for healing. I'm a believer in God's power to heal, and I just really felt that was important that I made that journey first. And so I did that, and then I went to Mayo, and Mayo put me through a complete battery of tests, and they said, we suspect, but we can't diagnose this. You need to go home and wait. And so they wait for the symptoms to disintegrate to the point of being incapacitated. So knowing that that was my option, that I didn't have an option, Susie, I went home, and I want to back up just a minute. My father, he was a man of faith. He planted 5 churches. He sang in a gospel group. He was a pastor for 50 years. And I watched his life, and I watched his walk. And I, you know, through this whole journey, this thought kept coming to my mind, are you going to walk what you've said you believed for the last 30 years, or are you going to give in and give up? So, Susie, I didn't go home with a diagnosis. I went home knowing that what I could face may not allow me to walk down the aisle at my daughter's wedding. It may not allow me to even hold my first grandchild. And those are the thoughts that went through my mind. I thought, I would cry out to God, God, who's going to put up the Christmas tree? Who's going to fix the Thanksgiving dinner? You know, things that you just wouldn't even think about as being important, those small things that you take for granted. Who's going to, you know, who's going to do the shopping at Christmas? All those crazy things that you do that no one else does, you think, who's going to travel with your my best friend, you know? And so I went through that process and that struggle. So I thought, God, I'm going to walk this out like I teach and like I believe. So I got every healing scripture I could possibly get in the Word of God, Susie. And I was so... I was so concerned that I tape recorded myself just in case it would get to the point where I could not even read those scriptures myself. And I read them day after day. I listened to the audios. I read them out loud. I wrote prayers of healing for myself. And for days upon days, for practically a year, that's all I did.
Tell me this. I love that you did that, Robin. I'd love to know, while you're, you know, going to battle and taking your stand, did your symptoms escalate? Were they cyclical? What did they do while you were trying to find your footing in the on the rock?
The first 6 months, they were very steady. Every, you know, I had consistent symptoms, confusion, inability to lift things, weakness. Susie, one day I woke up, I went to the mirror in my bathroom, and I remember reaching for the brush with my right hand, and I could not lift that brush to brush my hair. And I took my left arm to reach for the brush. I could not lift it with my left hand.
Mm. How scary.
Very scary, very, very, very scary. And it's so fresh even now. I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
And so I would walk, and I would speak those scriptures out loud. And I would tell God, I would remind God, God, we're in a covenant. You and I are in a covenant. And Susie, this book is not about dying. It's about living. It's about learning. You come out of those very dark places so that you can share important message to the people around you. And one thing, Susie, I came out, my father on his deathbed, he looked me in the eyes before he passed away, and he said, Robin, I have no regrets. And I thought, you know, I was 40-something, and my dad was 84, and I thought, how can you possibly say that? He was the most honest, God-fearing man I've ever known to date. He loved the Lord with a passion. And I thought, how can you possibly say that at 40-something? I had plenty of regrets. So that thought came to my mind during this year and a half journey that I was in total darkness, not knowing if I was going to live or die. And I thought, how did my dad say that? So I started looking at his life, at his walk. And I remember, Susie, at his funeral, people after people, they just kept coming up to me at his viewing. Robin, had it not been for your dad, my family would have never made it. Robin, had it not been for your dad, I would have died. Just one right after another. And Susie, I remember feeling, I'm not at a viewing. I felt like I was at a wedding feast. I didn't feel grief that night. I felt such tremendous joy. And the reason I felt joy, I thought, this is a life well lived. So I put that in that pen to paper, and I sat down and I started to remember what he did and how my life had been impacted. And this book it's about building a legacy, living a legacy, and then you can leave a legacy. You can't leave what you've not lived. And so many times, Susie, we all think, oh, we're going to live forever. You can't even fathom the possibility of not being here. I remember those dark days and thinking, this isn't even possible. It's not even possible. You tend to think that you're going to live forever. And part of that, I believe, is our God-given nature, because we are eternal beings and we don't really grasp the fullness of life and death. But when you're faced with death, everything becomes important. And I started to think about joy. How am I living my life to the fullest capability, really experiencing joy? Because, you know, happiness is a reflection of your outer circumstances, while joy is a reflection of your inward spirit, regardless of your circumstances. And that's a really important thing. And I thought, I need to savor the moments in life. I need to enjoy and not be so burdened down with the next. I don't know about you, and you probably are like this. We're doers. Mm-hmm. We like to get things done. I'm a type A personality. I like to do and just get it finished. But sometimes that can be a hindrance to the joy that God wants us to experience in life. And so I really, part of the book is about finding and living in the abundant joy that Jesus promised in Scripture, because I think we all tend to take it for granted at times.
Let's pause
I've
here.
Been all over the world.
I'm so sorry. We have to pause. We have a hard break right here, Robin. Talking to Robin Bertram. Her book is No Regrets. When we come back, we're going to hear the rest of the story. Here she stands on Scripture, reminds God that they have a covenant together. Something happens. I think you want to hear it, because many, many people are walking through a similar situation like this. More great conversation up ahead. Don't go away. Back in a minute. That would be Jesus. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Talking to Robin Bertram. She's an author, speaker, and she just released her new book today, No Regrets, How Loving Deeply, Living Passionately Can Impact Your Legacy Forever. Before the break, especially for those of you who tune in, hop in the car right now as you're on your way home from work, Robin tells the story, and you can go back and catch it when the live show's over, the podcast will be up, but talks about how she's just about to go on vacation with her family in Italy, and starts to experience some very scary neurological symptoms, really a major battle. Can you imagine just being on vacation, crying out to God at night, because right before she went on her vacation, one particular doctor said that she may have a diagnosis that means that she's got about 2 years to live. So during the day, she's vacationing with her family. At night, she's crying out to God. She comes home and goes to Mayo Clinic, and they confirm, as best as they know, that we have to wait and see, but it looks like it could be this. And so Robin starts to rehearse God's promises and starts to remind him that they're in a covenant, and starts to take her fears and her worries and stand on the rock and just find her footing on him. And this, I know this is no small battle. Again, Robin, I've been here so hugely, especially in the last year and a half. And but I tell you, we're better for the battle when we have to find that footing in such times. I just think we're made to be better warriors. But I want you to tell our friends, if you would, just how this thing played out.
I sure will, Susie. You know, I was thankful after I had gone back at my year mark. The doctor, I could see fear on his face when I walked through the door. And I sat down at the Mayo Clinic, and he checked everything, and he pushed his chair back and just looked with this tremendously puzzled look, and he said, there's just no more damage. He said, I see no signs of any more damage. And he said, there's no decline in your ability. There's no other further evidence of a progression. And he said, all I can tell you is we have to wait 6 more months. So, Susie, I left again, and I'm thinking, God, thank you that there's no more damage. But the battle did not stop there. I went home and I continued faithfully with reading, praying, praising. Because, Susie, let me tell you, you know, I was talking about joy before we had the cut, and I've been blessed to travel around the world. I have parasailed in Hawaii, ziplined in Costa Rica. I've hiked through the rainforest. I've taken gondolas through Venice. I've been blessed by the Pope. I mean, tremendous things. I've had a Bible study in a kibbutz in Israel. You know, all that being said, joy is not about money, success, or travel, because, you know, I've seen it all. I've heard it all. Joy comes from an abundant sense of God's presence in your heart. And so I know during this real battle that I was facing, I had to press into the truth of the scripture that my joy was not reliant on my circumstances. My joy was found in his presence. Psalms 16:11 says, you show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And I remember that was a scripture that was one of the pillars of abundant living, I call them in the book. They're scriptures that I stood on regardless of what I went through during the day, regardless of what I was facing. I wrote these scriptures down in the book because for me, it was solid. It was truth. And even truth that superseded what was taking place in the natural. So God was very gracious. I went through the year and a half, and I went back at the year and a half mark, and again my doctor at Mayo Clinic was astounded and confused, and he said, all I can say is go home and come back if you ever need us again. And Susie, that was the sweetest sound to my ear that I can't even explain to you. But during this year and a half, I was working on this very project, No Regrets, because I thought, how many of us live our life, we get towards the end, and we're thinking, did I do it? Did I do what I'm supposed to be doing? Have I lived my life to the fullest that it could be lived? Or did I just do my checklist every day like a good person should do? You know, was I faithful to my checklist? I was talking to a man one day, and I said, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do today? And he said this. He said, I would go and I would make things right with people. And I said, why wait then? Why not go today? Why not make those relationships right today? See, we think that we have all this time, and we think that relationships don't really matter. But when you're facing these types of obstacles, these big mountains, every relationship matters. every relationship counts. And so that was one thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that I was in good standing with everyone. And I wrote one of the chapters is about forgiveness, because I've learned about forgiveness. Forgiveness is about freeing yourself. I mean, it truly is. You are released from the pain when you release others. I did a meme on Facebook. It was a woman standing in the Facebook. I said, forgiveness is a reflection of God in us. And it just went viral. It was amazing of how many people responded to that post. I had over 8,000 people respond. And I thought, you know, when I wrote it, if God forgives us, how can we not forgive others? It really does put things into perspective. So part of No Regret, one of the chapters is I walk people through the importance of forgiveness and how to make things right with people. And then another chapter, I talk about love. In the book, I put a 30-day love challenge, Susie. And the reason I did that is because, the scripture in 1 Corinthians where Paul says love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, it is not arrogant, it doesn't act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. And I looked at that scripture, Susie, and I thought during this process, you know, Paul was giving the power verses in chapter 12 and chapter 14, and right in the middle of explaining how the church is to walk in the power and authority, in the midst of that, he stops and he explains to the church how to actually love. We think of that as a husband and wife thing. We hear it all the time at weddings. But Susie, God was teaching us through Apostle Paul how to love. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you jealous? And so I worked on this, and I wrote a love challenge where I want the readers to examine themselves for 30 days. Am I walking in true biblical love? Because I know even when I was working on it, I was challenged. I had a woman who had told me she would do something, and then at the last minute, she changed her mind, and I lost 2 days of work. And I was so frustrated. And the more I thought about it, the more upset I got. And on day two, it hit me that I was letting that fester. And I immediately went over, because of this love challenge, and I picked up the telephone, and I called that woman, and I asked her to forgive me. And I cannot tell you something that small how free I felt immediately. She did not apologize. She did not, she didn't change at all, but I did. And so, you know, even small things, when we harbor unforgiveness or bitterness or anger at another person, that can affect our health.
Oh, science proves it.
That can affect us.
Absolutely. Yes. I want to jump in and ask this, just have you expound on this statement. You said, discipline is the result of something we've done, while refinement is preparation for our purpose and calling. So do this, kind of define and make the distinction between discipline and refinement.
That's very good, Susie, because discipline is something that God will do to his children. We know illegitimate children are not disciplined. So we do know that discipline is a way for the Lord to get us back on track when we are in some form of sin. You know, we're doing something we should not be doing. Where God tells us in his word, I will refine you as silver is refined. And so refinement is more about taking, if you think about silver and how silver is purified in fire, it's put in tremendous heat, and during that heating up process, the dross rises to the top, and then the silver mist scoops off the dross, and nothing is left but pure silver. And that's the same process we go through as believers in Jesus Christ. We're to move from glory to glory. And what happens is the Lord wants us to be refined so that, just like the silversmith, when he looks into that silver and he sees a reflection clearly in that silver of himself, God looks into our soul and he sees a reflection of himself as we are purified, as we move from glory to glory. And so the process is uncomfortable. It's difficult. I wrote this in the book, Out of the Fires of Refinement Come the Praise of His Magnificence, the Brilliance of His Glory, and the Honor of His Precious Son, Jesus Christ. And I wrote that because in the midst of a fire, you will humble yourself. Your knees will hit the floor. Never like ever, any time in your Christian walk, will you turn to the Lord like you will when your life depends on it, when you're facing a mountain, whether it's financial or it's a lost child that's gone astray or it's a health crisis or whatever that situation is. Whatever your mountain happens to be, whatever your fire happens to be, it is a time when God is refining you, and he will bring you to your knees. And it's like the people of Israel when they were lost in that wandering in the desert for 40 years. God said, I'm going to test your heart. Not because he needed to know what's in their heart, but he wanted them to know what was in their heart. And so this health crisis that I faced, that was my fire. And I've walked with the Lord for, you know, I was saved at 13. So I've walked with the Lord many years. But never before have I faced such a tremendous fire as I did here.
Talking to Robin Bertram, title of her book, No Regrets, How Loving Deeply and Living Passionately Can Impact Your Legacy Forever. I've got three copies. Would love to get your name in on the drawing. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. Thanks for listening. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Robin Bertram. She released a book today titled No Regrets, How Loving Deeply and Living Passionately Can Impact Your Legacy Forever. We've got three copies. I would love to get your name on the drawing. If you need some encouragement today, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address. And I just want to read this excerpt from Robin's book. She writes, "The fires of refinement come with a cost, but also with a promise. His grace has been extended forth to you for restoration, comfort, strengthening, and establishment in him. You will be restored. You will be strengthened. You'll be comforted. You'll be established." And one of the passages that I've just hung on to in this last year and a half during my health battles is just that after you suffer a little while, the God of all strength will himself restore you, strengthen you, and support you, and set your feet on solid ground. That's my paraphrase. But, you know, after a while, after you've suffered a while, it just was a word to me that there is a limit to the storms that he allows us to go through. And you say that too. You know, the fires of refinement come with a cost, but also with a promise. Say more about that, and even maybe a couple of the go-to verses that you held on to, Robin.
Well, it was a beautiful process because I felt like during that time, as I mentioned before, I've never dug so deeply in my faith as I did when I was going through that battle. And one verse that I held on to, in order that the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tried by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I thought, God, this battle, whatever this battle is, I knew he was going to use it for his glory. And that was a really... I didn't know how it was going to end, and of course, no man is guaranteed tomorrow, Susie, and that's one reason the book is so important in my mind, because we don't have any guarantees. So we need to learn to live today to the fullest extent. And I talk about building a legacy. You can't build a legacy until you have to start with salvation. You have to understand and believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus died, was buried, and raised on the third day. And the Bible says if you confess that with your mouth and if you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. That's the beginning of building a solid foundation for leaving a godly legacy. And then living it out. And I talked about how we live it out. Refinement is part of the process. We can say to God, I just don't want to go through that. Or we can go through it with bitterness in our heart and anger. Or we can go through it holding firmly to the hem of his garment, the words of Scripture, just hold tightly to them. And what I learned through this process, Susie, is the only way to go through it is through by holding on to those Scriptures. And that was one that I held on to, just knowing that God was going to use it for his glory, no matter what happened. And so then I talk about in the book, because it's so important, during this process, I looked at my hands and I thought, what do I have in my hand that I can pass forward to the next generation? And Susie, sometimes we don't even think about that. We don't think about what kind of legacy are we leaving. You know, are we just working ourselves to death? Are we working for a bigger house and a better car and a greater vacation? Or are we working to teach and to train and to guide and to encourage and bring up that next godly generation? Because that's what God is asking for from us. And so I took a look. I love the story of Ruth and Naomi, because I thought, how would you like it if in your life you lived in such a way that your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers, anyone in your circle of influence would say, because you are who you are, I want to serve your God. And that's what Ruth did. She was a pagan from a pagan land that did not know God. And because of Naomi's walk with the Lord, she looked and she said, I will go where you go. Your God will be my God. And Susie, I know you've been in ministry for many years too. Don't we want that in our lives? We want people to be able to look at us and say, because you have lived the way you've lived in front of me, I want to serve your God. And so I know part of that was because of my dad and what I mentioned at his funeral. It was such a joyous, joyous occasion. Even today, it just brings such joy to my heart. But I thought, how many of us think about what we're going to pass forward? Because the cars don't matter, the house doesn't matter, the checkbook doesn't matter. But what does matter is living out your life in such a way that they look at you and say, they lived well.
Amen. Amen. Well, I got to ask you, just tying up your story, Robin. So you leave the Mayo at the year and a half mark, and they can't really explain while you have no more neurological damage. They're not even sure what happened. I'm sure in your heart you're like, well, I'll tell you what happened. You know, God's interrupted this process. Did your symptoms sort of fizzle out after that, or what was the process like for you after that?
I'll tell you what happened. It was a little over a year. I was coming home from teaching a Bible class, a group of ladies that I teach every Monday. And I really felt a strong impression in my heart, go back and say thank you to the pastor for praying healing for you. And I thought, I had a ripped contact lens in my eye. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it feels like glass in your eye. And I was driving, and I could hardly see. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to go home and take out my contact lens. And I remember as I was passing right before I got to the turn-in, finding myself literally turning that car into the parking lot of the church. My mind was saying, Robin, you're going home. Go home and get the contact out. But I literally turned into the driveway. I went in the pastor's office, and with tears in his eyes, I told him thank you because I was able to attend my daughter's wedding. I had held my first grandchild, Susie, something I didn't think I was going to get to do. And I shared the story with the pastor who had prayed over me for healing. And with tears in his eyes, he hugged me and he said, you are my Sunday morning message. And he shared with me he had received a letter that morning from another woman who had died from exactly what they thought that I was going to have. And I drove out of that parking lot, and the scripture came to mind when Jesus said, 10 were healed, but only one turned back. And Susie, from that point on, I knew in my heart God had done a miraculous thing. And it's overwhelming. Because I think sometimes, Susie, what would have happened had I not turned back? And I was so grateful for God's leadership, His leadership, that caused me to turn into that church that very day when that pastor needed to hear a word of encouragement. Keep doing what you're doing because God is in it.
Well, and that's the thing, is the ripple effect of the work that He does in us is so deep, so wide, we can't fathom it. And as we wrap here today, Robin, I know many, many people are walking through that kind of storm of some kind, crazy symptoms, you know, arrows coming out of nowhere, wondering how will I find my footing. Would you pray for that person listening right now?
Absolutely, Susie. Heavenly Father, we come before You, gracious King. And Father, for the viewers, the listeners here, we ask You, Father, we ask You for each and every one that's facing a mountain, God. We speak to that mountain in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we say, be moved. God, we don't do it in our strength. We don't do it in our ability. We do it in the power of Your name. And, Father, we ask for healing to come to each and every listener, God. We ask that You touch them in the deepest part of their being, God. And we ask You for physical healings. We ask You, Father, for financial healings. We ask You that those lost children come home. And God, we ask You most of all that we live a life for You, for Your glory, that You might dwell in the midst of Your people and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Robin, thank you for joining us today. We celebrate just your victory, your healing. We thank you for sharing your time today. Bless you.
Thank you, Susie.
That's Robin Bertram, title of her book, No Regrets. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.